Up next, the World Sky Race, featuring lighter-than-air ships traveling the globe. And a Houstonian's one of the folks trying to make it happen. Stay with us as Houston Matters continue. It sounds a little like Around the World in 80 Days meets the Cannonball Run, newly designed lighter-than-air ships racing around the globe. It's called the World Sky Race, an idea in development to take place starting in 2023. And if it comes off, not only will Houston be one of the landing sites for stage of the race, Houstonian Don Hartzell will be one of the folks to credit for it. Don Hartzell, welcome to Houston Matters.
Well, it's I appreciate being here. Thank you for including our particular dream on your project or on your show.
Sure. What sort of craft, first of all, are we talking about here? Are we talking about blimps, hot air balloons? What are we discussing here?
Okay, what we're discussing is a race of airships. You know, the technology that competed against airplanes at the beginning of the last century on being the dominant form of technology that would basically move passengers and cargo through the skies. And what we're looking at is re-examining the divergent paths of those technologies.
I thought airships pretty much fell out of favor after the Hindenburg disaster. Am I wrong?
Well, the Hindenburg disaster was probably the nail that ended it. But the reason that airships did not move forward were the fact that they were labor-intensive. You know, to hold the Hindenburg down, in other words, a gigantic balloon that could float away, it took more than 250 people to basically hold the ropes to keep it from floating away. And so you had to have this small army of people at every airfield where airships went to, whereas an airplane just simply needed a pilot to take off and land. And the labor intensiveness of one technology versus the other was really the determinative factor.
Is that still the case today, or has technology caught up in such a way that airships, lighter than aircraft, could be operated without so much intensive labor?
Indeed, they have. And you know, to kind of go back to the sciences of that day, is the materials available to build airships to essentially hold either helium or hydrogen inside their envelopes were made out of cow stomach. So the Hindenburg was an airship constructed out of 30,000 cow stomachs sewn together, then shellacked over. And so have we improved in our material sciences since then?
I would hope so. these days, you might see a blimp flying over a ballpark, but that's for the most part all we tend to see. How much interest is there these days in developing such airships?
Well, there's a significant amount in that, you know, once the labor issue has been resolved, that is being able to land with the de minimis crew, essentially airships are the greenest form of aviation travel. They can move a pound per mile or a kilogram per kilometer using 80% less energy than does an airplane. And what that means is also 80% less pollution. So the carbon footprint of an airship is just absolutely significant. And so we have come to realize the importance of maintaining our environment and being in balance with it. And so airships today are a solution to, in essence, one of the most significant elements of pollution of our skies, and that's airplanes.
Not to linger too much on the Hindenburg and the images it conjures up, but are there concerns about combustibility? Are airships safe today?
Well, the history of helium starts here in the state of Texas. We once had the monopoly on the production of all helium, and helium is a noble element and lifts. And we, in the 1920s, the United States, we made helium a strategic element, a reserve. And we would not sell it to the British. We wouldn't sell it to the French. We would not sell it to the Nazis. And so the safety of airships using helium makes now airships the safest form of aviation travel overall.
How is it safer?
Well, first of all, helium just does not combust with anything. It's a noble element. And so once helium is released, it escapes our atmosphere. We have no trace helium in our atmosphere at all. It's like when that little party balloon lets its helium out, that helium is immediately heading towards and past the space station because the gravity here on Earth is not strong enough to keep it inside our atmosphere.
What was the impetus for this particular idea of a global race of these airships?
Well, you know, we decided to take these advertising giants, these behemoths that we see over the stadiums, and put them into a race that connects the world. And in essence, we're going to create a global tapestry that will cause people to possibly go outside and do something that they need to do right now, and that is just simply look up.
I guess one of the challenges to this is identifying enough participants to pull it off. Are there enough out there? Are enough people that are operating these things?
In the world, there's about 35 airships, and we have a prize that says that five airships have to enter this race. It's a $1 million prize. And what that does is it is a fairly interesting carrot, I can say, that we dangle in front of the airship owners. And so what we're seeing right now are two teams beginning their formative steps, one representing the continent of South America. Another one we're looking at for France. And so we're going to create a competition of airships representing the pride of nations. And so, in essence, the Tour de France of the world, but using airships as the means to tell our story of athletes and agony, defeat, success, all those elements that go into great storytelling in epic sports.
Well, the Tour de France is a great sort of metaphor for this because, at least as I understand it, you have 18 different planned stages of this race going through a variety of different countries and past a lot of well-known famous landmarks.
What we are doing is we're charting as our beacons this route to fly over more than 130 UNESCO World Heritage Sites. And there's actually a UNESCO World Heritage Site here in the state of Texas, an iconic monument to, and it's the Missions of San Antonio, in other words, the Alamo. And we will be using those markers of humanity's achievements as the means to chart our route around the world.
I imagine another challenge with this is getting the permission of every nation in which the airspace would be used for it. Do you have that permission?
We have the vast majority of those permissions. And what's rather interesting about this race is in those two instances where it's still outstanding, we can fly around them. And so, in essence, we do have a route around the world. What we're looking now to do is just simply optimize it and make it just absolutely stellar from the storytelling point of view, the epic scenery point of view, and the inclusion of the entire world.
I guess at the heart of all of this, though, is one big question. Why do this?
Well, first of all, it's fun. I mean, you know, but we're adults, and so we have to explain ourselves in terms as adults do. It's for education. It's for the environment. But primarily, it's because it's fun. And there's an element of pride that's involved in this, and that since we're creating this and it's an idea that started here in Houston, when the race is traveling over Texas, it's going to be March, and that is going to make Lady Bird proud. We're going to show off. We're going to have our best boot forward as we show the wildflowers of our state to the entire world.
And so far, as you said, you have two teams with interest, and you need to get to at least five, and you think maybe there's some other options out there. What steps, what hurdles remain beyond just identifying who would participate?
Right now, it's mainly getting the team formation started and them active on getting their sponsorships, because after all, that's what's going to drive this race and make it possible. There's been so much expression in the media world that they just say, this is a thing we want to see. This is a thing we'd like to be a part of. And when we socially connect the entire world, it's going to be amazing. This race route that we have planned takes us over more than 2 billion people living on this planet.
Houstonian Don Hartzell is an organizer of the World Sky Race. It's a concept for a race of lighter-than-air ships traveling around the globe starting in September of 2023. Don, thanks for talking with us.
appreciate it, and thank you for having me on.